I'm going to be telling you a little bit about transparency in government, particularly around FDA's testing of seafood. What I'm trying to do is bring data into the sunlight. So this is data that you might not be aware of. It's not collected very well. And I'm trying to bring it out and let people see it so we can all talk about it, because these are some important issues. I'm talking about imported seafood that's, and I'm looking at not just the U.S. testing, but also to benchmark it against how the European Union tests their seafood, how Japan tests their seafood, how Canada tests their seafood, so to be more representative. I'm going to tell you a little bit about what risky foods we import, just to sort of set the stage. I'll tell you some of the findings of our study about aquaculture imports and testing. I'll tell you about can we say anything about public health risks from this study, and a little conclusions with some of my own ad lib recommendations. So what types of seafood do we eat in the U.S.? And if you could think back to your last seafood meal, maybe, you know, hopefully it was in D.C., it was good. So we eat a wide variety of seafood, but we mainly eat, you know, shrimp, canned tuna, salmon, pollock. In the last, I'd say, 30, 40 years, the wild-caught seafood that you catch out with a hook and a line or a net, that's dramatically been decreasing. And so now more than half the seafood that we eat in the U.S. is farm-raised, and in fact around the world. So some of the most popular types of seafood that we eat also have an asterisk by it. You can see they're farm-raised. And in fact, 85% of the seafood we eat is imported. So that's why looking at FDA's inspection of imported seafood is so important. Of the risky food items we eat and that fail inspection, fish and fisheries products account for about a fifth of those. So they're right up there, right behind fruits and vegetables. And there are a whole bunch of reasons why seafood could be risky to, for us to eat. The main risk items would be like any kind of prepared seafood, when a food handler touches it. When it's prepared, there may be some time and temperature issues about refrigeration. You all probably know about mercury in seafood. There's some mercury risks eating large fish that are long-lived in the ocean. Smoked fish, but some of you may not know, veterinary drugs are used in aquaculture, and those also can pose some risks, although those risks haven't been very well characterized. To talk a little bit about what are the ways that we raise fish? You all may not be familiar, but these are just some images. A lot of the fish that we raise in the U.S. have analogs in other countries. While we raise a lot of catfish, mostly maybe 90% of the catfish we eat in the U.S. is farm-raised here. There's also a big market of catfish raised in Vietnam, in Thailand, and China, and it goes by the name Pangasius or Bassa or Tra. They're all actually in the genus of catfish, and they're sold in grocery stores in the U.S. as catfish. We raise salmon in aquaculture mainly to restore habitats that are disrupted, but also for things like salmon ranching. We raise salmon and then let them out to the sea and then collect them when they come back. And then all over the world, salmon are raised in these net pens or cages. And you can see that this is an incredibly dense amount of fish in a small amount of water. So one of the biggest problems for aquaculture, and especially industrial aquaculture, is disease. Fish spreading diseases, not only among the farm fish, but to fish that are just swimming by and live in the environment. Shrimp, we raise shrimp in aquaculture in the U.S., but it's more like a boutique market. About 90% of the shrimp we eat is imported, and a lot of that is farm-raised. While there are some big environmental issues with raising fish in these types of operations, some of the ways that farmers will deal with these problems of fish diseases is by using antibiotics. And when antibiotics are, well, so let me take a step back and actually say, so all these fish, these 85% of the seafood we eat is imported. When it's imported, it comes to a port. In the U.S., there are a number of ports on the east and west coast, and they get inspected. And this is sort of my depiction of how the inspection process works. So, let's see. About 98% of the seafood that's imported goes directly to the consumer market. And then about 2% is actually inspected by FDA. They target who to inspect based on a risk-based approach. So they usually target people who they think are bad actors, who have failed previously, countries who they think are bad actors, although that's a little bit more wishy-washy, and seafood products that they think are risky, including farm-raised seafood. This sort of testing is really a black box to most anybody except for the FDA inspectors. And so if it passes inspection, it goes on to markets. And if it fails inspection, it gets put on a list. And that's the list that I see that you all can see if you go to the FDA website, which has recently been put back live online after not being working for a year. It was put back online about the same time this paper was published and live. So this, the study I'm going to talk about is looking at these failures. So this is to look at the U.S. inspection of particularly veterinary drugs. They actually inspect for a whole host of things, these risky things like metals I talked about, different microbes. But I'm specifically talking about veterinary drugs in seafood. So you can see here that since early 2000, we've started looking for veterinary drugs. And lo and behold, when we look, the more we look, the more we find. On the y-axis here, it's sort of not so easy to read. These are violations per 10,000 tons of seafood imported. I'm not very happy with the y-axis. Why? Well, if you remember the last slide, I was only able to see seafood products that failed inspection. I don't know how many passed inspection. I don't know the denominator or the total number of seafood items tested. That's a big problem. But when they do look, they find the U.S. and other countries find a whole range of drugs. Here are some of the drug classes that are looked for, and also fungicides. And why is this important? Well, a lot of these drugs are important to human medicine. And also the use of antibiotics in aquaculture can generate antibiotic-resistant bacteria. And I'm sure you've heard about MRSA and then their whole host of other antibiotic-resistant bacteria that are very troubling. So this is the U.S. data. Let's look at other countries that inspect seafood. You'll see some very similar trends. Basically, a ramping up of inspection, let's say in the EU, and then a gradual tailing off. Since I don't have the denominator or the total number of tests done, I really have to speculate about why this tailing off happens. But if I'm putting myself in the shoes of a seafood importer, and if you get slapped on the wrist a couple of times, you start to figure out the rules. So what I think is that these seafood importers are figuring out, you know, folks are going to be inspecting seafood for veterinary drugs. I've got to be careful with the sources that I buy from and my production practices. I would hope that's what this data is saying. Let's look at the data from a couple different angles. These are the types of drugs that are found in when the European Union looks. They found over the last almost decade, they found about 200 seafood lots that were contained veterinary drugs. And one thing that I think is interesting is if you look, the more you look, the more you find. So the reason why the United States only has three types of drugs that they've found is they have a very small number of drugs for which they have produced tolerance values for. Okay, they have about 12 or 13 drugs they have tolerance values for. The European Union finds a lot more drugs. Well, they have about 30 different drugs that they have tolerance values for. Japan has about 27 drugs they have tolerance values for. So the more you look, the more you find. And what you find is actually quite interesting. Just some trends in... this data is just finfish, and I've got data for shrimp and crabs and all other animals. But, you know, just looking at international trends, there's this fungicide, malachite green, is the top fungicide used in the EU, or that was found by the EU, found by the US, found by Canada, found by Japan. So these are... This kind of data can elucidate, well, what might be going on around the world. Let's see, the next slide is going to focus on the concentrations of drugs found. So this sort of benchmarks how well are countries doing relative to each other. The U.S. and the EU were the only ones that reported concentrations of drugs that they found. The other countries that I looked at just said, you know, thumbs up or thumbs down. So let's take malachite green, for example. When it's found by the U.S. and EU inspectors, they generally find it about the same concentration in seafood. What that's telling me is they probably import the same types of fish from the same countries. And since they both have pretty good testing methodology, it would make sense that this is what we'd see. A difference between the EU and the U.S. would be their enrofloxacin testing. And the reason why the U.S. finds lower concentrations of enrofloxacin in imported seafood is that the U.S. has a lower tolerance value. So our methods have to be more sensitive to get to this tolerance value that's set for enrofloxacin in seafood. There's some other interesting things to point out, that the EU tests for drugs that here, chloramphenicol, nitrofurans, that the U.S. doesn't even test for. And they're finding concentrations in the parts per billion range, but even as high as the part per million range, which actually enrofloxacin in close to a part per million could be close enough to actually cause a bactericidal effect. So this is a particularly high amount, but even in lower amounts could drive antibiotic resistance in bacteria. So when you kind of slice the data, looking at what countries are most often found in these exporters, you find it happens to be a lot of times Southeast Asian countries. I don't want to necessarily blame these countries because we don't have a denominator. We don't know how many, the volume of tests done for these countries versus other countries, but these are generally countries that most people would consider more probably using veterinary drugs. And there is some consistency across the importing countries in terms of the rank. Vietnam happens to be the number one most country with the most number of violations across all the importers. So there seem to be some sort of general trends we could take from the data. And I've done an overall rank. So Vietnam, China, Thailand, Indonesia, etc. You can also look at the data by the type of seafood product. This is probably really what's interesting to consumers. And when I look at this, I think this sort of confirms my suspicion that we looked at these imported food products, and it turns out that most of these are actually raised in aquaculture. You'd be surprised, but the FDA and these other countries, they won't tell you which seafood products, how they're raised when they do the testing. So even though we have country of origin labeling on all of our seafood that actually says where it came from, when FDA tests, they won't tell you that. So I think that's a big gap, but so this is what I'd like to see. Just to remind you, we import about 98% of the seafood that comes to the consumer market isn't tested. I'd like to see a more equitable balance between what's tested and what's not tested. And I think it's only fair that when FDA does their test of seafood, they tell us, well, we pulled a random sample. This was just spot checking. Or we pulled this a targeted sample because we have doubts about a particular producer from another country that's that has failed in the past. So, and that sort of information would really help me and other researchers. If we knew what the rate of violation was in the random samples, we could apply that to the fraction of seafood that isn't tested. And we'd also like to know what fails, of course, but we need it to have an accurate denominator. So we need to know what seafood passes inspection. And because they're able to record what fails, I'm sure they have the mechanisms to record what passes. That's just some of the specific recommendations, and some of the big picture conclusions is that we kind of came at this study wanting to do a risk assessment of veterinary drugs in imported seafood, and what we came out of it was there are more questions than answers. We know seafood is a globally traded commodity, and we know that there's some bad actors. Because in aquaculture, disease is so important for producers. At times veterinary drugs can be used. Actually, in rich countries, I've found through this work, vaccines are more common. They're both vaccines for viruses. They're baths that you can dip fish in for bacteria to treat them. And so we've got sort of a highly specialized, tailored animal health industry that's focused on keeping fish in aquaculture operations in rich countries safe and keeping keeping antibiotics out, because that's something probably that consumers want. And from low-income countries, particularly Southeast Asian countries where most aquaculture comes from, there really aren't those specially tailored vaccines to the fish that they raise. And so if antibiotics are easily accessible, well, then that's what's being used. One thing that I found through this work was that some countries, like take for example China, have figured out that they want to get their products through FDA inspection. And the way they've done that is they have a two-tiered production system. They have really high-quality fish that they raise that are for the export market, that they try to meet the tolerance values set by FDA and the EU. Then they have a lower quality fish that are for the domestic market. And that's really unfortunate for folks in China that are eating domestically raised fish. In Vietnam, for example, they know this is a problem. They try to test their own seafood before it goes to the U.S. So they've actually try to improve their methodology, but the equipment that they have to do their testing may not be as sensitive as the equipment that's in the U.S. And just some general advice for FDA is that we need more transparency in this process. We need more drugs with tolerance values, and it's very important to increase our capacity for numbers of inspectors, numbers of inspections, and things like the Food Safety Modernization Act. Hopefully we can get closer to those goals. So thank you. The work was not just done by myself, but a team of people, including Ronnie, also Keeve Nachman, Sarah Rodman, and with a lot of help from others at the Center for a Livable Future. Thank you.